David Finkel, writing regularly for the Huffington Post. I'm talking on Dave's Gone By with Dave Leskowitz at UNC Radio.
Here on the 11th annual Total Theater Tony Show, all these smart and experienced and passionate critics talking about the theater, talking about Broadway, and of course, the Tony Awards that are tomorrow night. We have welcoming back, I think for the second year on our special show, David Finkel. He is the drama critic for the Clyde Fitch Report, which our friend Leonard Jacobs is the founder of that, and he also writes for the Huffington Post. So some pretty cool credits there for David Finkel, who will be covering the category of revival of a musical. Welcome back to the neighborhood, David Finkel.
Thanks. It's always nice to be welcomed back, Dave.
Especially for a critic. It's nice to be welcomed anywhere.
It's true, although critics are maybe welcomed more often than people think. We tend not to be as nasty as we're credited.
Or sometimes not as nasty as we ought to be, depending on what is being fed us.
That's also true.
Well, did you like the season?
Thanks for your kind words. And I'm never kind, but I'm always fair.
That's what it's all about. Fair or foul, how was the season as a whole for you?
Not particularly good, I would say. The season as a whole, a lot of it went into a big hole. but there were, of course, some wonderful things. One of the best things is something we will not be discussing today, which is the musical Hamilton, which is, in my estimation, one of the great musicals, and we'll talk about it next year when it's opened on Broadway.
It was at the Public Theater.
It was at the Public until May 4th, and it opens in July on Broadway.
What's another show that you really love that we might not be having a chance to talk about in this category?
We won't be talking about Wolf Hall, Parts 1 and 2, or The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, but they were both great. One that we will talk about, nominated for Best Revival of a Musical, which is On the Town. And The King and I, both of them were wonderful, are wonderful productions. On the Town, it's the best revival that we've seen of On the Town.
Ever.
Ever.
There was a George C. Wolfe revival a few years back that I just
there
hated.
There was, and it wasn't bad. It was quite good, but this one is even better.
Why? What's so good about it?
I think the choreography is really outstanding. Mm. And The King and I would say, is a perfect production. What I will say about Best Revival of a Musical, the third, which we will mention, of course, is On the 20th Century. When you look at the people who have written the scores for these best revivals, you really get better music somehow. And I'm not saying that there aren't good people writing today, but I don't think they're writing as well for, I would say, complicated reasons.
Hmm.
The King and I, of course, has a score by Oscar Hammerstein II and Richard Rodgers, which includes several standards. On the Town has a score by Leonard Bernstein, Betty Comden and Adolph Green, and can't do much better than that. And that also has standards from it. And On the 20th Century also has a book and lyrics by Comden and Green. The composer is Cy Coleman. Mm-hmm. I would say that is lesser accomplishment of those three. They've written much better scores, it seems to me, for other shows. Still, you're talking about those people, and one of the best musicals this year that nominated, of course, is American in Paris. There you're talking about the Gershwins. Though it's the adaptation from the movie, not a particularly good adaptation, with superb choreography by Christopher Wheeldon. You've heard that music before. Fun Home has a good score. I don't like the score for Something Rotten, and I think that The Visit, which is the last score it's being called by Candor and Ebb. I'm not sure whether it was written before or after Curtains. The Candor and Ebb score is not at the top of their list. So I had a better time at the Best Revival of a Musical this year than I did at the Best Musicals.
Well, let me ask you, are you a Tony voter?
No, I have been, but I was not a Tony voter this year.
If you were voting for Best Musical of the Year, it would be what, Fun Home?
Are you putting words in my mouth?
Well, or would it be An American in Paris?
Are you asking me for best score or for best musical?
Well, overall musical.
That's a very hard choice, and I will tell you why. Fun Home is an extremely accomplished musical about, people may or may not know, that the title refers to, is the fun in Fun Home is short for funeral. And the children in Fun Home, the oldest child is played by three different actresses, all of whom are good. It's taken from the graphic novel by Alison Bechdel. It's about her growing up as the soon-to-be out lesbian graphic artist. And it's about her relationship with her mother and father, her father, who was a closeted homosexual and also suicidal. Oh. This is a very chancy and tricky subject for a musical. An American in Paris is, well, it is lighter-hearted, but it is not, in this adaptation from the movie with a new book by Craig Lucas, I find the book rather strained to fit on Broadway and made to seem more important than it was as a movie. I'm not quite sure why. And I also see it as a travesty of Alan J. Lerner. Alan J. Lerner, of course, has two musicals travestied on Broadway this year, the other one being Gigi, which was not nominated for good reasons. Mm. So I've been rather upset by the treatment of Alan J. Lerner. When you think about it, An American in Paris and Gigi both won Oscars for Best Picture. So you think, why are these? They may have to be lengthened to be on Broadway, although I'm not convinced of that. Very foolish mistakes are made with Gigi. The assumption is that in the movie, the song Thank Heaven for Little Girls, it opens the movie and it's sung by Maurice Chevalier. People thinking politically correct involved with the stage adaptation are afraid. And I think this is one of the reasons why it was not nominated. The song Thank Heaven for Little Girls, which includes the lyric, they grow up in the most delightful way, people think that that could be interpreted as a song by a pedophile. This is absolutely ridiculous. That alone.
Other critics have written about this, that it sort of would be creepy in this day and age to have a 60-something-year-old man looking at a semi-post-pubescent girl and saying, oh, she's growing up delightfully. In the old days, you could kind of let that slide.
She is growing. They grow up in the most delightful way.
Yeah. Yeah, they get boobs, you know.
I don't see that as creepy at all, and I would take issue with anybody who does and have, and I've written about this. I think it's absolutely foolish. The song has been given to her grandmother and the relative who trains her to be a courtesan, which she objects to. A friend of mine has pointed out that giving it to these two women singing it, it has even a worse effect, which is they're rubbing their hands together at all of these young women they're going to get to train as courtesans. That, to me, is even creepier.
I have not seen the Gigi production. When you say they're being trained as courtesans, do we mean that in a sexual way or more of a geisha kind of...
I'm not sure. Is there a distinction?
Oh, well, okay, fair enough.
There were sexual relationships in there, too.
But the people are saying that the musical is so whitewashed on Broadway that maybe even when they're singing about training them to be... maybe it's almost more like a finishing school than, you know, finishing men with a happy ending kind of a school.
No, the way it's written now, and this is another offensive development to me, is that now heroines, women in musicals, have to be proactive. A couple of years ago, Cinderella did not drop her shoe accidentally. She took it off to leave for the prince. Mm-hmm. Making her take action. In Gigi, she is the one who, at the end, objects when they go to Maxime's, who objects to what's going on there. In the movie, as Colette has written it, the older man, Gaston, mm-hmm. sees what's happening and has fallen in love with her, and he sees what she's has been trained to become, and he's the one who takes her away. So the Craig Lucas version is a travesty of Colette, simply because we now think politically correctly. We don't think in context. Producers are afraid of audiences, which they shouldn't be, and audiences should be a little more aware, it seems to me. Why are we catering to people? Why are we not just showing them what has been written?
Well, yeah, but then again, if we were always thinking in those terms, then any show that we would have that was more than 50 years old, black people would just be playing maids, you know?
I'm not sure that that's true. If you did Zora Neale Hurston on stage, which has been done.
Right, but Zora Neale Hurston, that's already into almost, I wouldn't say minstrel show-ish, but that segregated level of black culture.
I buy your argument there.
Okay.
I think what you're implying, certainly, is anything that's older than 50 years is fair game for updating and correcting politically. I don't know,
people were up in arms about Porgy and Bess, but that's a show that you can do and put black people in unfortunate roles back then. I just wonder where...
But what the people that are upset about Gershwin, Ira Gershwin, George Gershwin, and DuBose are upset because of not changing what the characters are doing and how they behave. They're upset about the treatment of the musical. I think the argument can be made that they're right to be. So that's a different thing.
Sure. Actually, we kind of have to leave this off here, but this has been really, really cool. I mean, I love getting in there and debating and talking and loving and being excited about the theater, which David Finkel does in his columns for both the ClydeFitchReport.com, where he is the chief critic now, and he writes for Huffington Post as well. So absolutely look for David Finkel, F-I-N-K-L-E, to find out more of how he feels about the theater. We feel really honored to have you in the neighborhood on our Tony shows. And
well,
we thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, David. And if you don't mind, I will just say that my prediction for Best Musical is going to be American in Paris, for the very simple reason that the presenters who vote, they can sell American in Paris more easily than a musical, which Fun Home is, about a lesbian with a suicidal father.
And you're talking sell also on the road.
That's what I mean. Presenters on the road.
Yeah. Okay. We will see tomorrow night on the Tonys. And again, I thank you, David Finkel, for your strong opinions.
Thank you, and you're welcome. Bye, Dave.
Bye-bye now.